26 October 2002, Bolu Shambhala Center. The following is Talk Number 3 by Kenpo Tsultrum Gyaltso Rinpoche on Valid Cognition.
I wish you all Tashi Devek this afternoon. Everything for you be filled with auspiciousness, happiness, and excellence. And along with that, I pray that within the expanse of equality, all of your thoughts that perceive contradiction and conflict dissolve. Those who study are bound by concepts of proofs and refutation. Those who practice are bound by concepts of focus and fabricated meditation. And therefore, those who study need to train in their thoughts of proofs and refutations dissolving in the expanse. Those who practice need to train in the self-liberation of thoughts that cling to an object of meditation and its characteristics.
Home in the northwest of the land of Uddiyana, on a blooming lotus flower, you have attained supreme wondrosity. You are renowned as Padma.
Itakijin Tangoba. Buddha Juchini Temba Purlong, the Mongombo Lodu Jusongba. Rekpo Wamzo. Par Soji Langbodan, Chuji Drape. Tema, what is Songdon in the Hebare? Palam Tene Po Kanjinji Jonji dropped up the gerbo, Sage Lujela, Talon Tigli Drama Tane, Malokju Sunjuk Dorjin Changa Kondroba, Nanjuji Wanson Malarepe, Tumba Hakyan Gonala Sumbe, Jimmy Jimmy Sunjokje, Sungode, Young Sonja, Gerwaran Suchi.
This morning, we looked at some explanations that were given by the one whom our teacher, the completely perfect Buddha, prophesied himself. Prophesied would come and dispel all views that cling to extremes about the nature of genuine reality. And doing so, by refuting all such views, demonstrate that essential reality, Dharmata, is beyond all conceptual fabrication. This is none other than the protector Nagarjuna. And we also looked at some explanations given by the two lords of logic, the glorious Diganaga and the glorious Dharmakirti. And today, this afternoon, we should start by singing a song that was sung by the one from among all the yogis and yoginis who practiced in the snowy land of Tibet, was like their king, the Lord of Yogis, Milarepa. The song that he sang to the teacher, whose name was Shakyaguna, called No Birth, No Base, and Union.
Dekaso. Jimmy, now Jimmy Dong. Cover Jimmy Dong. Sim Satong Song Juk the Temple.
This song describes how samsara is unarisen, how appearances are unarisen, how samsara is without base or root, and how the true nature of mind is the union of clarity and emptiness. The teaching that appearances are unborn, that samsara has no base, ground, or origin, no root, this is in harmony with the teachings of the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, the Prajnaparamita Sutras, and the as they are explained by the protector Nagarjuna. And the teaching about how mind's true nature is clarity and emptiness undifferentiable is in harmony with the teachings of the Shentong, or empty of other, middle way school, Mahamudra and Dzogchen. And when in the later part of the song, Milarepa sings, whatever arises is the greatest bliss, that is in harmony with the explanations given by the secret Mantrayana. And so in this song, which is only on one page, you get the essential explanation of the Rangtong, or empty of self school, the Shentong, or empty of other, and the Vajrayana. And that's what makes this song so incredibly wonderful. When Milarepa gave these teachings, he gave them to a great scholar, Shakyaguna, but he gave them in the form of a song. He actually sang this to him. And when we sing it too, then we create the auspicious connection of carrying on the lineage of singing Vajra songs. These Vajra songs have three qualities. The first is they're concise. Second is the words are easy to understand. Third is the meaning is profound. When the Buddha's own teachings are classified, they're put into 12 different groups, 12 different types of teachings. And one of them is called the teachings of beautiful melody, which the Buddha actually sang. So when we sing, we also carry on this tradition that goes back to the Buddha. And this tradition continued through the lineage of the realized siddhas, the Mahasiddhas, like Tilopa, and then Naropa, and Marpa. They all sang many songs. And then Milarepa, the one who attained the state of Vajradhara, of complete enlightenment, complete purification of Prani, Nada, and Bindu in one lifetime, in one body, sang an incredible number of Vajra songs. And so Milarepa came to be renowned in Tibet as a treasury of song. That was the name that he was known by Milarepa, the treasury of song. And so we who follow after Milarepa should also become, you could say also say, like a fortress of song. We should also become a fortress of song. So I'll sing a few lines and then we can start over together from the beginning.
Yeah.
The true nature of appearances is that they've never been born.
Been born.
If birth seems to happen, it's just clinging, nothing more. The spinning wheel of existence has neither a base nor a root. If there is a base or root, that's only a thought. Together? The true nature of appearances is that they've never been born. If birth seems to happen, it's just clinging, nothing more. The spinning wheel of existence has neither a base nor a root. If there is a base or root, that's only a thought. The true nature of the mind is union, inseparability. If you separate its aspects, you're hooked on some view. The sign of the true lamas is that they hold a lineage. The ones who make stuff up are just being dumb. The mind's basic reality is like the clear and open sky, but the dark clouds of thoughts just cover it all up. So let the Lama's fifth advice be the wind that blows those clouds away. Even confused thoughts themselves are clear light that shines so brilliantly. Experiences so bright like sun and moonlight. Without any direction, clarity shines timelessly. You cannot find it, so you can't say what it is. So many kinds of certainty shine like the stars in the sky. Whatever arises is the greatest bliss. Its nature is simplicity, the Dharmakaya's expanse. The six conditional appearances are empty naturally. This natural flow is effortless, there's not a klesha in sight. Within this basic state, completely relaxed. Wisdom without fixation abides continuously. The three kayas inseparable, the greatest miracle.
In the song, the Jimmy Yimmy does the time Jim Colo Papa Gomba Gombo Lodujo Oman Tawa Kira, Padin Dava Trapper, Oman Joba Jazzy Kiwale, Junior Kira, Levisota Tabare Toba Ryan Oisala Yamun Yada Tawa Kirki Party, Tiki Cubs, the name Julam Gomba de Tabare, De Catolo Julam in the Hijana Yam, Tata Yungre Yapore.
Let me also do a sangre.
the descriptions at the beginning of the song about no birth, no base, no root, these are perfectly in harmony with the teachings the Buddha gave in the second turning of the Wheel of Dharma and the explanations of those teachings found in the protector Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, the glorious Chandrakirti's Entering the Middle Way, and the Bodhisattva Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Conduct. And then the explanations in the fourth verse of how even confused thoughts themselves are clear light that shines so brilliantly, experiences so bright like sun and moonlight, without any direction, clarity shines timelessly. You cannot find it, so you can't say what it is. So many kinds of certainty shine like the stars in the sky. This is in harmony perfectly with the teachings of the third turning of the Wheel of Dharma and specifically the treatise on Buddha nature, the Gyulama. So if these verses, when one looks at this one, dive straight into an examination of an explanation of the Gyulama, this treatise on Buddha nature. If you study that in connection with these lines, then that's an excellent thing to do. And then whatever arises is the greatest bliss is precisely the view of the secret Vajrayana. And so in one song, we have the whole path in a complete form. There's nothing that's left out. And therefore, it would be most excellent if you sang this song 112 times. 112 is the number of the 80 major signs of the enlightened bodies of the Buddhas and the 32 major signs and the 80 minor marks of the enlightened bodies. And so if you sing this song 112 times, that makes a good connection for you to achieve these yourselves. And also you'll gain a wonderful understanding of all of these views in a complete way. And then however many more times you want to sing it after that is great. In the Ngundro practice, you do each one of 400,000 times, and some people even do it more than once. So as many times as you want is wonderful. If you want to combine the paths of reasoning and the path of practice together, then you can, while you sing this song, visualize Milarepa and the sky above you singing it himself. And while you visualize him and generate faith in him, then you think of what the meaning of the words is. You increase your knowledge of the view and meditation by doing that. And so this is the path that combines faith and scholarship together.
Lu sanang meba sa mambu yeba la tene kozo ngombo cha song resido. Lusanang Sayerang Yilan Dong Wombo Jilan Jeromis. Lusanang
Chiang Samagi Kato Tabore Nang Lang.
Ore Mombore. Nayang Mombo Sayang Mombores.
Milarepa is depicted many times in Tankas as being green. And the reason why his skin is green is that he ate lots of nettles, which is like green spinach, when he was practicing because he didn't have any other food to eat. And so there's a saying that Milarepa is the one whose body looks the same outside as it does inside. Because the food that was in his stomach is the same color as his skin on the outside. So, but then on the other hand, when he started to, after he went through his period of these difficult austerities, and then after he gained more students and realization, then he started to eat a lot more and a lot of good food, and so he became very healthy, and his skin probably took on a different color. So if you want to meditate on him as green, you can do that. If you want to meditate on his skin as looking a healthy color that we would normally think of, you can also do that. It doesn't make a difference. So at that point when he was practicing very difficult in retreat, then he got really skinny and bony and all green from all the spinach, the nettles he was eating. But then after that, what happened was that at one point, his sister Peta and his former fiance Zese, they brought him lots of meat and lots of beer. And so he ate all this meat and he drank all this beer, and the knots in his chakras loosened. And when that happened, his realization really increased. And then after that, he got nice and fat, and his skin also changed to become more healthy, like pink color. And so if you want to visualize him, his skin as this healthy color, wearing a white cotton shawl, then you can also visualize him like that. This is what really happened to Milarepa, was that he was practicing really hard, but because he didn't have enough nourishment, then his chakras got all knotted up. But then after he ate all this meat and drank all this alcohol, then his chakras loosened and his realization increased tremendously. And this gave him confidence, certainty in the fact that the Vajrayana is the path of taking sense pleasures to the path. It's the practice of taking the sense pleasures to the path. And he himself said this. This is what he said. And the song in which he expresses this certainty is the song of meaningful connections.
Then the Dorje Tepa Doyon Lamchere Doyon Lamcher Zoe Yure, then the Malarebe Kande Nangdo, Doyon London Cherbe, Junsen Karasongdo, De Yang Hakona, Kartimore.
In general, it's taught that the Vajrayana is the practice of taking the sense pleasures to the path, and so it's good to know what Milarepa's experience with this was and what he had to say about it. It's like that.
Ta tering chim danda chimi chehe re cheba ma ba tun chimi chehe se ji tu ni che ke pare de la sa chu be chimi chehe ji che dong la tambu jeba me betung kande hindu kande songdu doi long dan jaba le sacho pendole chu nam je ran ye chu nam je yang da ba ni jetawa temba ndala re he long ne papa sacho pendole je jerbe seta sanju simba sanga bala Lanyon to do the Sanjo Sambate Sanjo Sambe Satro Walan Yoke De Chun Yambani Chun Yoko Chukang Shana Detate Chutamjin Tema Mabar Yambani Da Chutamjin Tini Mabar Yambani Da De Yendo Jeva Mabar Yambada Maji Bar Yambada Wimba Wimba Koyang Bayan to Nyambada, Chutamji Duni Takbar Nyambada, Chutamji Chupa Mapa Nyambada, Chutamji Lawadan Tora Mapa Nyambanida, Chutamji Jumada, Mulanda, Mirda, Takyato, Chuta, Zunida, Chupa Tabar Nyambanida, Chutamji Ubuda, Ubu Mapa Nyambanide, Chutamji Jerangin, Teta Rabdo Toba Na. No yin, jizun dunbe, zebe, sanju sembe, satrukwa wa, satrukwa ngundunju wa, jizu topte, jizu, jizun badabu, ya.
Our topic this afternoon is an overview of No Arising. And if we look first at a passage from the Buddha's speech in which he describes phenomena's authentic reality just as it is, this can be found in this portion of the Noble Sutra of the Ten Grounds. O sons and daughters of the victorious ones, the bodhisattvas who have completely perfected the path of the fifth ground enter the sixth ground. They enter it by means of the 10 ways in which phenomena are equal. If you ask, what are these 10? They are as follows. All phenomena equally have no qualities. All phenomena equally have no defining characteristics. Similarly, they are equal in that none will arise, none have arisen, and none are arising. They are all free, meaning that they are all open, spacious, and relaxed. They are originally and perfectly pure and beyond conceptual fabrication. They are equally neither to be adopted nor rejected. All phenomena are equally like illusions, dreams, visual distortions, echoes, water moons, reflections, and emanations. And finally, all phenomena are the equality of the non-duality of things and the absences of things. When all phenomena's true nature is perfectly realized to be like that, the sixth bodhisattva ground, the manifest, is attained by means of this acuity and concordant patience. So it is taught.
The name Chutam de Nyamba Ni de Zo didn't contain Yamir. Contain Yamil Yeva Minayang Chutin Denbari Kinsula to the Denin Yamir Jury Yeva Sombre. May look Yamir Ragung Ola Yeva Yamar.
In the teachings of equality, the main equality to know is the equality of samsara and nirvana. And within Equality itself, in fact, because it is equality, there are no distinctions. There is no one or five or ten different types of equality from its own perspective, but from the perspective of the different ways in which we cling to things as being different, unequal, truly existent. Then from these 10 perspectives, in order to counter this clinging to things as being truly existent, the Buddha taught the 10 types of equality. This is similar to the teachings on emptiness that the Buddha gave when he taught the 16 kinds of emptiness. Not because there are 16 different kinds of emptiness, but because sentient beings have these particularly 16 different ways of clinging to things as being truly existent. And so in order to help us overcome that, then the Buddha taught 16 kinds of emptiness. But in emptiness itself, there are no divisions or separations at all. And if you get to the end of this explanation of the 16 emptinesses and you find that there's too many, then that's no problem because the Buddha followed that with a summary into 4 kinds of emptiness. And if you still find that 4 is too many, then you just rest in the 1, the freedom from all conceptual fabrications. And this is how the Buddha divided things when he gave teachings. This overview explanation of no arising comes from the root verses come from Chandrakirti's Entering the Middle Way. This text, the Majjhimagavatara, is a commentary itself on Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom of the Middle Way, the Mula Majjhimaka Karika, or in Tibetan, Tsawa Sherab. So Chandrakirti wrote this Entering the Middle Way as a commentary on Nagarjuna's fundamental wisdom of the Middle Way. The root verses also require commentary in a lot of places to help us understand. And the commentary that we have here in the regular text in between the bold, which are the root verses, it was composed by the 8th Karmapa Mikyo Dorje. And the commentary I've heard in English is clear, but therefore you should read it on your own. I will give some explanation, some general explanation about the root verses themselves. And then when you go home, you can read the commentary on your own. If there are things that you don't understand or you find mistakes, then you should address those issues to the translator. So, Mikyo Dorje's commentary is a commentary on the commentary Entering the Middle Way. If I give a commentary to that commentary to the commentary, then you'd see that we would end up in an endless process. And so there's no need for that. You please read this commentary by Karmapa Mikyo Dorje yourself. I think you'll find it clear. Those of you who are interested in studying the Middle Way should pay particular attention to this commentary by Karmapa Mikyo Dorje. It's the best because it's our own tradition. The first root verse we have here is the eighth in this sixth chapter of the text. And there are two lines quoted here which read, "It does not originate from itself. How could it originate from something else? Nor does it arise from self and other together. How could it arise without a cause?" So this is the thesis of the explanation on emptiness, you could say, of this entire chapter. Chandrakirti lays it out. He says, all inner and outer phenomena do not arise from themselves. How could they arise from something other than themselves? They do not arise from both self and other together. How could they arise causelessly? The first possibility is that something arises from itself. But arising means to come into existence anew. And if something arose from itself, it would first have to exist in order to bring itself into existence. If it did that, then arising would have no meaning because the thing would already be there in the first place. But even if it were the case that it existed and then still had to arise again, so it existed and it would bring itself into existence, then it would continue arising into infinity. It would never stop arising. So in this way, the two flaws in the view that things arise from themselves are that arising would be meaningless and endless. And from all of the verses that teach the refutation of arising from self, the one that I picked for you here, number 13, is the most profound. It's the best. It explains it the best. And so I didn't want to give you anything but the best, because I figured the best would be the most helpful. So that's what we have here.
Dale chebar dona chebar sadang chizi dang ledan seba poyan chikin yona tedane kini mai pen dale chebar khelawa samay jachir shebe ne batawan jotro.
And the verse reads, "To assert arising from self is to claim that producer and produced are one, and that actor and object of action are one. Since these things are not the same as each other, and because of all of the other faults that have been extensively explained, we do not assert arising from self." O intelligent men and women, it is not appropriate to assert that things arise from themselves, because if they did, then that which is the producer and that which it produces would be one and the same thing, meaning the cause and the result would be the exact same thing, the actor and the object of action would also be the same thing. And to those people who believe, actually, that things arise from themselves, we need to, in a gradual way, in a way that is filled with love and compassion, explain to them the flaws in this idea that something arises from itself. So the way to do this is to first introduce the what are called the absurd consequences of the view that something arises from itself. And when one hears, when one who believes that things arise from themselves hears these absurd consequences, the first thing that will happen is that they will move from 100% certainty that things arise from themselves to doubt. They will begin to question their understanding. And at that point, you start to introduce the proof statements that highlight with your reasons the relationship between the reason and what the reason proves, the predicate. When you do that, illustrating the forward pervasion, that's called a proof statement illustrating harmony. When you do it illustrating the reverse pervasion, then that's called a proof statement illustrating disharmony. And you use these proof statements to help them gain more and more certainty that things do not arise from themselves.
They read together.
So let's read these first verses together. It does not originate from itself. How could it originate from something else? Nor does it arise from self and other together. How could it arise without a cause? To assert arising from self is to claim that producer and produced are one, and that actor and object of action are one. Since these things are not the same as each other, and because of all the other faults that have been extensively explained, we do not assert arising from self. You should read carefully Mikyo Dorje's explanation. If you want to know how arising from self is refuted in the Kagyu tradition, then you should read Mikyo Dorje's commentary. The next verse reads, if a thing arose from something different from itself, then pitch darkness would arise from a fire's flames. Everything would arise from everything. And why is that? Because all causes and non-causes would be equally different from the result. The key to understanding why it is that a result does not arise from a cause that is different from itself is that causes and results are not different things. They do not exist as two different things. And this we can understand when we see that causes and results don't exist at the same time. They only exist one at a time. So when the cause of anything exists, the result does not. So there is no result to arise from this cause different from itself because there's just no result present when the cause exists. So you only have one. And then when the result exists, the cause does not. So again, you only have one thing, the result. How could it arise from something different from itself? There's nothing there to be different from. There's no cause that's different from itself existing. So since they only exist one at a time, they can't exist as two different things. And therefore, something doesn't arise from something else that's different from itself. So this is something pretty easy to understand in the case of a cause and result that are very sequential, like a seed and a sprout. Right, the seed as the cause and the sprout as its result. But it's a little more difficult to understand with, for example, two things that each appear to have their own separate continuum of existence. Like, for example, a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter. Because it seems like, first of all, that you can very easily have the mother exist before the daughter, and you can have them both exist at the same time, and then they're different. So why can't you have a result arising from a cause that's different from itself? So this we have to examine. And when we examine, what we find is that, in fact, a mother can only exist in dependence upon there being a daughter, but the daughter can only exist in dependence upon there being a mother. So therefore, they're both only dependently existent, not truly existent. There is no mother if there's no daughter. Like before the daughter exists, there's no mother. So the cause of the mother is the daughter. But at the same time, there's no daughter if there's no mother. So the cause of the daughter is the mother. So the cause of the mother is the daughter, and the cause of the daughter is the mother. And therefore, they do not truly exist. They can't exist sequentially, right? One can't come before the other. They are only dependently existent, and therefore not truly existent.
Then Ama yimbesana ama ngagre samudu tundu mare. Ranang la tute, ranang ke patan pate la tute, tini yare mato mangbo la tute mare.
And then some people come back and say, well, what if the mother has two kids? Then the mother does exist before the second one. But that doesn't work here because we are trying to determine the relationship between specific causes and specific results and see which, how, if the cause really exists, it has to exist before the result and bring the result into existence. So you have to apply it to the mother and the particular child that it's giving, that the mother is giving birth to at that time. And so Nagarjuna wrote verses about this, and in one verse he writes, who comes first, the father or the son? I have doubts about this question.
This is a patam po, mad, jesiji patam po, jesiji mad po motazo, teni to drop it and the nansare. Tonda ba madu ba nika tende tando nawa. Patam po, mad po motazo, nando jumantao, jatuntao, chodatao.
And so, father and son, mother and daughter exist as only dependently arisen mere appearances. They don't have any true existence. They are just dependently arisen mere appearances, and so they are appearance emptiness, like illusions, like rainbows, like water moons. And a similar analysis is made in the chapter called of Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, called An Examination of What Comes First. So, for example, if you try to find out what comes first, the experiencer or the experience, for example, the one who gets angry or the one who feels desire, and the desire or the anger itself, then you can't find any logical way that it could be. And so then you know that they don't truly exist. So the key point here is that if something arose from something different than itself, you would have to have both of them present at the same time for one thing to arise from the other. And if they existed at the same time as different things, then any one different thing could be said to arise from any other different thing. And so you could have darkness arising from fire. You could have anything arising from anything else, because all causes and non-causes would be equally different from the result.
Then pena babalo le pugacheva capso, machi bacaptam, chi gimba capta, chi simba capta so, ama de necam necam jondore, papas in the maduvere.
But it's not like that. And furthermore, the cause, the entity that we think as the cause, doesn't exist as a continuum, as one continuous thing. Like if you think of a buffalo mother giving birth to a buffalo calf, then the buffalo mother is not the same before she gives birth, while she's giving birth, and after she's giving birth. It's a different entity altogether.
Buffalo ye poko che chane poko temon chai jupa kap so Tene tambo chingi ja amate yina tene dunga mangbo yore. Tene dunga yomar mo chibun chasare. Tene nekab kagare, jorsare.
If the buffalo mother was the same mother as she was giving birth, and the same exact mother after she already gave birth when her calf was playing around all over the place, and that wouldn't be very nice because the mother would be in continuous pain. The mother would always be suffering the continuous pain of birth if it was the same mother, but it's not. The mother is different. Because the mother is very happy at that point. The mother takes a break and lies down and rests, and the little buffalo calf plays around all over the place and then comes back after a few hours, and then the mother and the calf happily trot off together. And so we see that the time of suffering and the time of happiness are different. But the continuum of a sentient being is a continuum of similar moments, and others, we as sentient beings, have the tendency to confuse a continuum of similar but different moments to be one thing. Just like we look at the continuum of moments of a candle flame and think it's the same candle, it's burning there. Or you look at a river and you think it's the same river that was there before. For example, somebody can come to a river and say, this is the river where I lost my shoes last year. But it's not the river at all, because that water was gone a long time ago. So there's nothing there that's the same at all, in fact. But we confuse these moments of a continuum because they look alike to be one undifferentiated thing.
Or for example,
when an enemy changes into a friend, then you think, well, this person who once did me all this harm and such is now my friend. But in fact, the person who did you harm is no longer there at all. That person has completely changed into something else. So that individual who did harm does not exist. The skandhas, or the aggregates and the sources of consciousness, the potentials or dhatus that make up this enemy, whatever constituent parts you find, you can't find a single thing that's still around. It's all gone. So this is mainly an explanation from the perspective of impermanence. So let's recite this verse again. If a thing arose from something different from itself, then pitch darkness would arise from fires, flames. Everything would arise from everything. And why is that? Because all causes and non-causes would be equally different from the result.
That was
So that was a pretty good reputation of arising from other, but we can do it again. So the 21st verse reads, if a producing cause produces a product different from itself, then does that result exist, not exist, both or neither? If it exists, why does it need something to produce it? If it does not exist, what does the producing cause do? If both, what would the producing cause do? If neither, what would the producing cause do? Before we examined we focused on the cause to see if the cause is something the same as the result, and now here specifically to see if it's different from the result. But now we're looking at the result. And so we ask, if a result really arises, is it an existent result that arises, or a non-existent result that arises, or some combination of both, or neither? So we look and see when the result arises, meaning when the cause produces it, at the time the cause exists, does the result exist or not, or what?
Rangin chitrape jule, rangin chitrape deva kasi cheva yina. Juyu to so. Deva yo ne cheta, me ne cheta, nika le cheta, nimi le cheta du. Yo ne che se na, yo na che, yo ne cheva mayimba ta yoba ju che mugubu se. Meba cheva mayimba ta, meba te che munibu se, namke medo yin. Yoba ta meba nika ngarwa yinba se. Nika mayimba yinda che meba se. This is not you, you to say you mean the chino, then the matter of it. Then devil at you by you mean Chango contains a cigarette.
So when the result arises from the cause, if you have an inherently existent result arising from an inherently existent cause, then when it arises, does that result exist? Well, if it exists, it doesn't need to arise. It's already there. And if it exists at the time of the cause doesn't produce it because it already exists, doesn't need to be produced. So an existent result does not arise because it already exists, doesn't need to arise. A non-existent result doesn't arise either, because what is a non-existent result? You know, it's like saying there's a flower arising in the sky. Doesn't happen. So a non-existent result doesn't arise either. Nor can there be some combination of existence or non-existence in a result, nor can it be something which is neither existent nor non-existent, because those two possibilities are impossible, they're contradictory. And so this is the reputation of arising, called the reputation of arising of an existent or a non-existent result. So let's recite this verse together. If a producing cause produces a product different from itself, then does that result exist, not exist, both or neither? If it exists, why does it need something to produce it? If it does not exist, what does the producing cause do? If both, what would the producing cause do? If neither, what would the producing cause do?
That's somebody nigga le cheva gapane. Ni le cheva rekpe ngu mo yin kangese.
The next verse 98 is a reputation of arising from both self and other. That's the third possibility. And here the verse reads, arising from both self and other is also illogical, because the faults previously explained apply to it as well. We do not assert arising from both self and other, either in the world or in the precise nature of reality, because there is no arising from either self or other individually. So if somebody says, okay, I know that there are logical flaws in saying that something arises from itself, and I know that there are logical flaws in saying that something arises from something different from itself, so now I get it. Now I know how it is. So something arises from something both the same and something different from itself. It arises from both self and other, right? Somebody says like that, then what's the reply? And the reason that one gives an answer to this idea is that given all inner and outer phenomena, inner and outer things, they do not arise from both self and other together, because all of the faults that accrue to the belief that things arise from themselves are present in this view, and all of the faults that are inherent in the view that something arises from something different from itself are inherent in this view. So this view is doubly wrong. Not only is it the case that things do not truly arise from both themselves and something different from themselves in the nature of genuine reality, but also even in the world, there is no inherent arising from both self and other. That was pretty easy, right? So we'll read this verse together. Arising from both self and other is also illogical, because the faults previously explained apply to it as well. We do not assert arising from both self and other, either in the world or in the precise nature of reality, because there is no arising from either self or other individually. The next is the refutation of causeless arising. Verse 99. If things arose without any cause at all, then everything would always exist and would arise from everything else. Furthermore, no one would perform all of the hundreds of tasks, like planting seeds and so forth, that people ordinarily do in order to get results to arise. The point here is that if things arose causelessly, then they would have no relationship with causes. Right? Results would have no relationships with causes, and so you would either have it that things would always arise, because it wouldn't matter if their causes were present or not, they would arise, or they would never arise, because it wouldn't matter if their causes were present or not.
Jitimbe
And also all of the things that people do in the world, for example, to get a harvest to grow, would be completely meaningless because harvests would grow causelessly. And so all of the work that farmers do to grow their crops would be meaningless because crops would grow without causes. Sometimes they would grow and sometimes they wouldn't, but it wouldn't depend on causes. If things arose without any, we'll read together, sorry. If things arose without any cause at all, then everything would always exist and would arise from everything else. Furthermore, no one would perform all of the hundreds of tasks like planting seeds and so forth that people ordinarily do in order to get results to arise. And the concluding verse reads, since things do not arise from self, other, both, nor without cause, they have no inherent nature at all. Given all inner and outer things, they have no inherent nature. They do not inherently arise because they don't arise from themselves. They don't arise from something different than themselves. They don't arise from both self and other. And they don't arise without cause. Then what is the arising that we see? Well, since things do not arise from any of these four possibilities, and there is no other possibility, then the arising that appears is a dependently arisen mere appearance. So the arising that appears is appearance emptiness. It is dependently arisen mere appearance. To say those means the same thing. It is like the arising in a dream, in an illusion, of a moon that appears on the surface of a pool of water, of a rainbow, of a mirage, reflection, of a movie. In a arising that it appears in a movie or email. So when you have arising that is not arising from any one of these four possibilities, that is dependent arising. An example of dependent arising that is mere appearance of arising, not from the four extremes, is the example of a buffalo mother giving birth to a buffalo calf in a dream. Since it's the case that in genuine reality there is no arising, and yet there is still this mere appearance of arising that can appear due to the coming together of causes and conditions, then the explanations of karmic causes and results of past and future lives are perfectly tenable.
And
if we look at Milarepa's song, No Birth, No Base, and Union, then all of this is summed up in the first two lines of the song, which read, The true nature of appearances is that they've never been born. If birth seems to happen, it's just clinging, nothing more. That's why this song is so important.
Sing a song together.
So let's... So we'll sing the whole song from the top. The true nature of appearances is that they've never been born. If birth seems to happen, it's just clinging, nothing more. The spinning wheel of existence has neither a base nor a root. If there is a base or root, that's only a thought. The true nature of the mind is union, inseparability. If you separate its aspects, you're hooked on some view. The sign of the true lamas is that they hold a lineage. The ones who make stuff up are just being dumb. The mind's basic reality is like the clear and open sky. But the dark clouds of thoughts just cover it all up. So let the Lama's fifth advice be the wind that blows those clouds away. Even confused thoughts themselves are clear light that shines so brilliantly. Experiences so bright like sun and moonlight. Without any direction, clarity shines timelessly. You cannot find it, so you can't say what it is. So many kinds of certainty shine like the stars in the sky. Whatever arises is the greatest bliss. Its nature is simplicity, the Dharmakaya's expanse. The six conditional appearances are empty naturally. This natural flow is effortless, there's not a klesha inside. Within this basic state, completely relaxed. Wisdom without fixation abides continuously. The three kayas inseparable, the greatest miracle. Now, do you have any questions? Oops.
Rinpoche Lam, it's nice to see you again. All right, thank you for your translation. I have about 4 million questions. I'll try to summarize it in three. The first question actually is one of procedure. I'm curious, I've heard before that it's disrespectful to look into the eyes of a Tibetan teacher. And I don't even remember where I heard that. Rinpoche, is it an insult. And my eyes are continuously drawn to your face.
Kona kaji sayaji yore.
Oh, yeah.
Sum la du tupido.
Yeah.
Dene kaji tambo de konge kosong dene perbe lama la perbe lame chen la tekartana rangi miki tekartana dene de gupa my gupa mepe tare de dembarebe. Karesna kongi rimboche gijal. Jalwala Sheda Gagi Gagidu Yang Dene Shal Jalwala Palcha Rawam Mendo Kong Shal Jalgugido Kongugido Dene De Gupa Mepe Tarabe Chen Tekar Latana
Tekardana
Lare
Te Tekardana Kuba Mepe Tamare Give Shini Donatako Chuti.
It's not disrespectful to look into the eyes of your teacher. You have to look at the face of your spiritual friend. That's how you learn the Dharma. Next question.
Next question. In our discussion yesterday, a lot of the questions you said were directed at the Majjhimaka view, which we've discussed today, so I'm going to go backwards. Seems my style. The talk yesterday, we discussed the sense consciousnesses and the mind consciousness. And the discussion was that these consciousnesses have no concept, that they are free of concept. So I'm curious as to why the term consciousness, which to me suggests some sort of interaction, some sort of like container. So is consciousness the correct term? Because it seems as though what we're talking about is that they're just receptors, like the eyeball.
Yeah. Wang shi togzhao re.
Wang ye.
La re. Dene togzhao yena dene nam shi kandere hakogi mendo. Karasana shipa korang ge chik hakogo bido. La re.
Wang ye.
La re.
Wang ye de tenen de Tumunda, Tumuma, and Beloma Niga, you know, why he?
Maragonda.
Me. Why he? Why he? Ah, the one. Tell him why he said, isn't it?
Wang Shi, Gonda. Making Nam Shi.
One he.
Not it.
Wang Shi. Yeah.
We almost got a teaching on the four empowerments. But anyway, the Miki Namshi Korang Pena Miki Namshi Togdral Yena Dene Namshi Yena Dene Chikako Gugido Dene Togdral Yena Dene Miki Wampo Davo Chagido Karasana Kongi Togdral Yena Yang Hakoa Yopa De Hakogimendo Kandida.
The Nambelo La Gonga Namshi Todare Toki Yomare. Wang bo le to si ma yin de re. Wang xi la to ke yo ma na ka re se na yi sem te ji du ting en de le ne ba ka so gong na m xi la zu da zhe ru re ze da yi na na yang ye ma ke ge ma re. Ti se na de ne gong na m xi to da de ke pa re nang bo lo.
De ne shi rikpa yo na rikpa yo na tokpa yo pe ma kya.
Ma kya rang yo jin je tu Gong Nam Hiji Ranger Jinsha to Repare, Zembare, Dumjok Sigre, in a young Tanyin Zingamare, Chen Zingamare, Gadu Kayan Zogmare. This is not Dumjok Sigre.
The definition of consciousness is that it knows something. And you don't have to, a consciousness doesn't have to be conceptual to know. So, and this is precisely the way that the five sense consciousnesses are. As we heard from the teaching last night, it's impossible that concepts should arise from the sense faculties. So sense consciousness arising from its sense faculties doesn't conceive of any names or any conventional terms associated with the object. It just perceives it in a totally direct way. And this is called collective engagement. So what collective engagement means is that when you, for example, look at something with your eye sense consciousness, then you perceive all of the features of that object collectively at once because it's non-conceptual. If it were conceptual, then you can only think of one characteristic at a time. You couldn't perceive all the characteristics at the same time. So that's the difference in the way that non-conceptual sense consciousnesses and conceptual consciousnesses perceive. And we can also see this from the example of someone who's just resting in samadhi without any conceptuality at all. Then when they're without concept, their eye sense conscious, their five sense consciousnesses don't stop functioning. They continue to function and they know their object. They perceive their object, but in this collective non-conceptual way.
And so
in Ma Mudra, there's no need to block the five sense consciousnesses from perceiving their objects because the five sense consciousnesses don't interfere in any way with Ma Mudra meditation because they're non-conceptual. They don't cling to concepts about things. They don't try to create anything or stop anything from happening. They just perceive in a purely naked and non-conceptual way. When meditation is explained, however, according to the view of the causal vehicle of characteristics, then it's explained that you do block the sense consciousnesses from perceiving. And the reason why you do that is not because they're conceptual, but rather because based on having a sense consciousness experience, then concepts arise. And you start thinking about things. And so because the sixth consciousness, the mental consciousness, does that, then that's why you want to stop the five sense consciousnesses according to that explanation of meditation. But in Ma Mudra, the instructions are given of how to place this mental consciousness. And the way you do that is you just let it relax in its own basic nature. And when it's relaxing in its own basic nature, then it's not trying to stop anything or to bring anything about. And it's resting free of fixation. And when it does that, then the experience of the five sense consciousnesses is an experience of clarity that is vivid, beautiful, and bright. And when he explains how to do this practice of Ma Mudra meditation in the song called The Six Words That Sum It All Up, sung to Lotan Gendan, then Milarepa sings, "Rest with a child's independence. Be like a small child without any fixation on anything. Appearances can appear, but don't obsess about them. Don't fixate on them in any way." And since in this way Ma Mudra teaches the method of how you can rest free of fixation in meditation without needing to stop anything from appearing to your sense consciousnesses, you can still rest in meditation like that, then we can see why these Ma Mudra instructions are so profound. So it's like that.
just to make sure I have this in my mind here, when I have an experience, whether it be a sound or something, let's take the example of some insect crawling on my body. I can't see it. I'm in bed, you know, it's crawling on my foot or something. I don't know what it is. But the natural bodily reaction is to, what is that? You know, your mind, your body, everything. What is that? Some people even jump out of their skin, you know, when you feel something like that. So the experience of that, as my mind tries to recognize what it is, yeah, that has nothing to do with the sense consciousness. This is all already sense.
Dinipena, tsamtsam ngatso, samno tangwa hama konayang, dine zupo gyopo yogidok, perna nyauti tsemo la nyawe kapsu, dine bu, jik, dine kangbala, rangi kangbala, dine drogidok, dine de rekja de tsogidok, dine zup dine samno matane alamsang dine chongwa dawa zogidok, de karere, kensabore, kangba amlakba la bu yongna, tongwa sane yomare yineyang rekba tsamla tene zupo jit yogido. De tamche namto rebe.
Dene lorje luje namhi kewala tene namto jeryo.
Yeah, that's all conceptual, because as soon as what happens is that a concept arises immediately upon the contact with your body sense consciousness. So another example would be that if you are sleeping and you hear a loud noise, you wake up right away. And you have some thoughts, because based from the sense consciousnesses, the conceptual mental consciousness starts to go. The way that the process is explained in the teachings on valid cognition is that first you have a moment of direct sense cognition, valid cognition. And then you have a moment, another non-conceptual moment of direct mental cognition. And after that second moment, then a thought arises. But this happens so fast that it seems like to those who are dumb, basically, that's what the word is, or stupid, that stupid sentient beings think that it's the same thing. And because the non-conceptual perception is followed so quickly by a concept about the object, then you think that the concept is objectively present in the object. But it's not, because first the object is perceived non-conceptually without any thought about it at all. So, for example, you can have a non-conceptual consciousness that, for example, an eye-sense consciousness producing a thought about that form that you see. And then if it's a form that you like to see,
the perspective of the explanations about valid cognition. When we look at why it is that arising doesn't exist at all in genuine reality, then that's an explanation from the perspective of the Majjhimaka, or the middle way. And the tradition of valid cognition is to examine very, very, in a very subtle way and refined way, how conceptual consciousnesses arise from non-conceptual consciousness, is what the relationship between the two is, how they're different, and how non-conceptual consciousnesses also arise from, relate to conceptual consciousnesses. The main point of the middle way explanations is that none of this arising really happens. And that's why bringing valid cognition and the middle way together is good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rinpoche?
La. Allah. Allah.
Why it was said that the arisings that appear are dependently arising mere appearances. I don't see why dependently arising mere appearances are like rainbows or mirage or all the other analogies, dreams. Because things are dependently arising, why are they like dreams? The question.
Tendril gi kiwa gi pe tongzuk mambo shagido. De hakogimendo. De tendril yinbe chiyana tongzuk gi pe dabu yinbe gyumsen karare.
Kante.
Tashi le kiwa mepa kiwa gi nangwate. Tendril gi kiaware. Dene tendril gi kiawa te milam tabo gi kiawa gyuma tabo gi kiawa lasokpa gyumsen hako gemendo.
Gyuma tabo kiawa. Kansar jume bada huansok kansar jume bada huansok ta kansar jume bada huansok jola sota dagi nikale Munam Chever Chura Mayebe, Tessitini Rabdu Chever Jur. Davatrape, Tajile Machibe Sena Chevachin, Tokundu, Tender Chivaris. Tajile Cheva, the Rekpe Kakno, Rekpe Tokundu, in the Cheva Tokundu Taker, Tender Chiva.
As Chandrakirti writes, things do not arise from Ishvara or without cause or from self or from something different than themselves, and therefore arising, therefore they arise perfectly in dependence upon each other. So what the point of this is that there is no true arising because we've refuted it. Because we've shown that it can't happen from any one of the four possibilities, and there is no other possibility. So what's left is the appearance of arising. And this appearance of arising is called dependent arising. Just like the appearance of, and the examples are examples of appearances of arising.
Another
verse that's quoted from the Nyingma Tantra Guhya Samaja and is also present. Guhya Garbha, and is also present in the newer tantras as well, is from the absence of arising, everything arises. This mere arising is not arising. So from the expanse, which is really has no arising at all, there is an appearance of arising. But this appearance is not truly existent. So we could add to this verse and say, from the absence of arising, everything arises. This mere arising is not arising, just like the arising that appears in a dream. If there were no appearance of arising, then in the world there'd be no clinging to arising as being truly existent. That problem wouldn't be there. But there is an appearance of arising, and we do cling to it as being real, and that's why we need these teachings about how it doesn't truly exist, how it's just a mere appearance. As the Lord of Yogis Milarepa sang, I have gained confidence that there is no arising. This swept away my taking past and future lives as two, exposed all six realms' appearances as false, and cut right through believing all too much in birth and death. The appearances of birth and death that we perceive are just appearances. They don't really exist at all. They are just like appearances of birth and death in dreams. And since the tulkus, or the emanations of the realized masters and teachers, realize that birth and death are just like dreams, then they take birth again and again. They're not afraid of going around in this process. So on the other hand, the Shravakas are afraid of birth and death. So they want to get out as soon as possible. So when they attain arhathood without remainder, then they don't come back. It's like a candle that is blown out. It's like a river that completely dries up. That's it. So some of you have the view that when you die, you want to come back. And some of you have the view that when you die, you don't want to come back. So this is a difference of opinion. If you want to come back after you die, then you probably want to have a good rebirth as opposed to a bad one. And so if you want a good rebirth, then you should make aspiration prayers to gain a good rebirth so you can be of benefit to others. So let's sing this song of this one, this verse of no arising from the three kinds of confidence. You don't have it in front of you, Mandula. So you should write it down. It's a song that's whose melody is in the American warrior tradition. So it goes, I've gained confidence that there is no arising. This swept away my taking past and future lives as two. Exposed all six realms' appearances as false. Exposed all six realms, and there's an apostrophe after the S, all six realms' appearances as false. And cut right through believing all too much in birth and death.
Tene yege draba te, chuji yege draba te, chu yile se sor jeba chuju chu yegoni yile se sor te, tambo yege draba te, yege draba te yabore, tingsanga lobde lo sor te yabore.
Writing down the Dharma is the first of what are called the 10 Dharma activities. When the way to mentally engage the Dharma is described in an extensive way, then it is done so by means of describing the 10 types of Dharma activity. And the first one is to write down the words of the Dharma. And this is precisely the tradition of modern schools where you take lots of notes. So this new tradition is great.
Sing a song. Bhavi song.
Sing a heroic song.
Yeah.
I'll sing it once and then we can sing it together. I've gained confidence that there is no horizon. This swept away my taken past and future lives as two. Exposed all six realms' appearances as false. And cut right through believing all too much in birth and day. Hey, 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 hey.
Sing a song together.
I've gained confidence that there is no horizon. This swept away my taken past and future lives as two. Exposed all six realms' appearances as false. And cut right through believing all too much in birth and day. Hey, 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 hey.
Lode, Pavi Lode, I'm going to get Pavi Lode singing though, young and the dung. Luntama de Hibakabsang.
So, this is a song whose melody I'm told is in the tradition of the American warriors. And it's a very brave song, so you should sing it again and again. And the last time you sing it should be right before you die. If you sing about how there's, about the confidence that there's no birth and no death, in genuine reality, you won't be afraid of death. That'll be good. So it's like that.
Zonam de ya tamje zubani tomne nebe danam
pamjene
keganan
je balab trukpai
zuban zolen rovaru vaju.
May this merit may all attain omniscience, may it defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness and death, from the ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. By the confidence of the golden sun of the great east, may the lotus garden of the Rigdon's wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance of sentient beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory. So this is the way that warriors stand. There's no way a coward could be like this. Tomorrow I'll explain to you a general overview of the two truths of dependent arising and the results of analysis.